Well, I have spent enough time in God's Word this week that I've heard Him speak. I've heard Him say to me, "Go tell my people I said." Aren't you glad for the Word of the Lord this morning and the difference it can make in our lives? So important to hear God speak. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it reads like this: "Be diligent," that means work hard at it, "to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "correctly analyzing and accurately dividing and skillfully handling the word." I want to speak to you on that subject this morning. Skillfully handling the word. In the Greek language, that phrase, "rightly dividing," that's what we're to do with the word. We're to be so skilled at handling the word, we can rightly divide it. In the Greek, it means to make a straight cut. To be precise, precision, to dissect correctly. And every believer has this as a goal. It comes through time and experience. There is the milk of the Word that makes our bones strong. It gives us structure for life. Even babes can enjoy the milk of the Word. But then there is the meat of the Word. It's strong meat. And that does not belong to babies. That belongs to men and women who are of a full age. In other words, it comes over time, of a full age. And by reason of use or practice, we arrive at a time in our life where we have become skillful in handling the Word. There was a lady thousands of years ago. Her story is recorded in Scripture. Her name was Hannah. And she lived with a heartbreak. Every day she would wake up heartbroken again because the dream of her life, the thing that she wanted more than anything else in the world, was to have a baby. But she was barren. And the doctors of her day said, "It's impossible. You're not able to conceive. You will live your entire life childless." But she went to the Lord one day. Her name was Hannah. She went to the Lord one day and said this to God: "If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you at an early age, and he will work in the service of the Lord all the days of his life." So that barren woman, Hannah, was blessed to conceive and give birth to a son who would grow up to be a prophet. And she named him Samuel. And when Samuel was just a small boy, probably the size of our toddlers, his mom Hannah obeyed her own word and brought him to the temple. And the priest in the temple in that day was Eli. And she said, "God has blessed me with a son, and I'm going to honor my commitment to him by giving him back to the service of God all the days of his life. Here, let him live in the house of God and be a servant to you and to the people of God." And in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." How blessed we are to live today when we have the word of God and we have the Spirit of God who speaks the word to us and reveals truth to us. How blessed we are today that it cannot be said that the word of the Lord is rare in our time. It is not rare. It is abundant. How sad it would have been to live in a day where there is no widespread revelation. That's not the case in our day. The word of the Lord covers the earth like the waters cover the sea in our lifetime. It's not a rare thing to hear God speak. It's not a rare thing to get a word from God. It's a common daily experience for those of us who are His sheep. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." So Samuel, the boy, living in the temple, serving the priest and the people of God, when it was rare to hear God speak. And when he was a young boy, he was about to fall asleep in his bed one night when he heard his name called. And he thought it was Eli, the priest, down the hall that called for him. So he gets up and goes to Eli's room and says, "Yes, sir, did you call me?" And he said, "No, son, I didn't." Samuel goes back to his room, goes back to bed, and hears his name called again. He goes back to the priest. "You called me?" "No, son, I didn't." He goes back to his bed. And the third time he hears somebody calling his name, and he gets up and goes to Eli the priest, and he said, "Surely you called my name. I heard my name called clearly." And Eli, the priest, said this to him, "It wasn't me. It must have been God. Now, if you hear him call your name again, I want you to respond by saying, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" I was in my office this morning early, and Ken Oliver always beats any of us here. I think he lives here. I'm not sure if that's legal, but I think he lives here. He's a true doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He keeps this place perfectly cleaned in the natural and in the spiritual. And he came to my office this morning and said, "I was walking through the sanctuary when you called me. I'm sorry, I missed you. What did you want?" I said, "Ken, I didn't call you." This was this morning. "Holler, Ken." "Amen." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, Ken, it wasn't me." And he had no idea I was preaching about Samuel hearing God call him. And here's this man walking across the temple asking if I called his name. He heard somebody call his name in the house of God today. He thought it was me. It wasn't. Listen, I'm not calling your name today. If you hear your name, it's God calling you. So Ken came back out knowing it was God who called him. And he wrote this prayer and brought it to me. He didn't know I was going to share part of it with you. "Father, bless all who enter these doors this morning. Let all the world's problems, family burdens, and sicknesses drop to the ground before they enter this sanctuary. When they leave, let them feel recharged. Let all of our nurseries and children's church be filled with babies and children till we have to expand these walls. May all who enter this sanctuary know that they know it's all about you, our Savior." Amen. Sometimes God will speak to us and we think it was a man. But God speaks clearly. He's a great communicator. And we qualify to hear Him speak and give direction to our life because we are His children. I'll tell you who is led by the Spirit. The same people who are children of God. We've covered this before. We're driving the point home by repeating some things that are important during this season in our life. But we hear the voice of God, and He leads us by His Spirit, so we will not be misled by any stranger's voice or any other spirit. we're led by the Spirit of God, not misled by any other spirit. That's those of us who are children of God. We have His promise on it. Now, after Eli instructed Samuel, when you hear that voice again, call your name. Your response is, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And then in verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. God is about to do something in the church, Israel, a type of the church. We will hear it first. Now listen, both ears, are you listening with both ears? Both ears of everyone who hears will tingle. God is speaking present truth, a proceeding word. When we hear the word of the Lord, it gives us direction. And as we become more skillful in handling the word, it also gives us traction. Milk for direction, strong meat for traction. We can hear God speak around here. He said, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear. He said, he that has an ear, let him take heed or be careful how he hears. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Look, we got His word on it. If I can find it in here, I'm just going to believe it. I'm going to act like it's true. Wouldn't it be great if you lived, if I lived, even just one 24-hour period in our life, acting like the word is true? He said, my sheep hear my voice. They will not be misled and deceived by hearing some other strange voice. Jesus said, not my sheep. How many of your sheep that belong to Jesus this morning? Then you qualify. You hear His voice. You're not going to be misled. You don't have to be. Now we become more skillful in handling God's word as we are experienced in it. Certainly, just like everything else. Are we hearing the word with our ear? Are we speaking the word with our mouth? Are we hiding God's word in our heart? Psalm 119, verse 11, David said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that word sin means miss the mark. Listen here. As we become skillful in handling God's word, we hide it in our heart. We become one with it, so much so that it prevents us from missing the mark. God has something better for us than missing the mark. Now, where do we get our direction? Where do we get our counsel for our life? Psalm chapter 1 begins like this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful or the critical. So there are three things right there we don't do to get direction. Now some of you are wondering, should I go this way? Should I go that way? Lord, I need to hear you speak like that delicate whispering voice behind me, speaking to me, this is my will, walk this way. I need to hear you speak a word of direction. Do I take this job or that job? Do I sit or stand? Do I get up and go or stay? I need to hear the word of the Lord to bring direction to my life. But we do not get it from the ungodly. And we do not get it if we're standing around sinners all the time. And we do not get it if we're scornful and critical of our circumstances. We don't get our direction that way. Our counsel that way. How do we get it then? Where do we get our direction from? Verse 2. But his delight, he takes pleasure in the law of the Lord. It could say the word of the Lord. We take pleasure in the word of the Lord, and in God's word we meditate day and night. For those of you who don't know, that's all the time. There's not one single minute ever in a 24-hour cycle that is not either day or night. It's all the time. We meditate in God's word. We meditate. We ponder it. We talk out loud to ourselves about the word of God we've read and we've heard. We meditate all the time. And we take pleasure in God's word. That's where we get our direction from. And then, what does our life look like when we get our direction from God's word and become skillful at discerning and handling God's word as we apply it to our life? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted, stable and faithful by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Everybody say, season. Whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Okay, by now, prosper, prosper. By now, we've got more than the word of the Lord that gives us direction. But now, we've become skillful in handling the word so much that we meditate in it day and night. We take pleasure and delight in the word of God we've heard. We've become so skillful in handling the word that now, we've got traction. We prosper. Milk brings direction. Meat of the word brings traction. Blessing. We prosper in our life. How do we become skillful handlers of the word? Simple. We must first of all know the word. And then secondly, we must practice what we know. Got to know it first. But then you put it to practice. To him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You're missing the mark if you know it and don't practice it. Why would God give you a new word when you've not practiced the one you've already got? Why would God give you more word, trust you with more word, when you're not skillful at handling the word you've already got? You're not really applying that word already to your life. Preach it, brother. Go ahead and say it. Pull the preach out of me this morning. I'm going to have to start sitting at another table if you keep that up. We must know the word, and we must practice the word we know. That's how we become skillful at handling the word, making a straight cut as the word speaks to our life, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, dissecting correctly the word of God we've heard. The Amplified Bible in the book of Hebrews says that strong meat, that's a great word from God, belongs to those whose senses and mental faculties, get your mind on it, mental faculties are trained by practice to distinguish between what is good and noble and what is evil and contrary. Trained by practice. Now, we've been talking about this year, the Spirit of God has escalated the process. We're at warp speed of being perfectly trained to be like Jesus. Luke 6:40. Everyone who is perfectly trained will be just like his teacher. So the Spirit of God is perfectly training us to be like Christ in the earth. And so we're trained by practice. We handle the word properly. And we do it so much and so long that over time, the Bible says, by reason of use and full age is over time, by reason of uses, we're trained by practice. And then we become so skillful at handling the word that just the nature, that spirit, the Holy Spirit that's one with our spirit, sort of knows. Because we've been trained by practice as we've handled the Word so long now. We're so skilled at it now, with age and practice, with time and practice, that we have a discerner on the inside of us. And that's a good and right thing. No, that's an evil and contrary thing. We know the difference as we become skillful at handling the Word, trained by practice, put into practice the Word we already know. Now, I brought a hammer and a board with me in case some of you needed discipline this morning. Especially those of you on the front row. I'm not that good with a hammer. I'd be careful if I were you. Now, I'm not good at hammering. I have bent more nails than I've nailed. But some people are great with hammers. Many of you are, by trade even. Some of you earn a living with a hammer in your hand. You can tell by the hand how skilled you are with a hammer. A professional has calluses, and you can take a look at the hand. It's strong because of the grip of the hammer. And the person who is skilled at using a hammer got that way by practice. By practice. I'm sort of jealous because some of them just... And they've nailed it. I am good, though, with judo. Now, how do you get skilled at handling the Word of God the same way a hammerer gets skilled using a hammer? There was that song, "If I Had a Hammer." I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening, day and night. We take pleasure in the Word of God. I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, I'd hammer all over this land. That's the way the words, I mean, all the time and everywhere. That's how you get good with a hammer in your hand. But you're trained by practice. Now, you can't take a young man that's 20 and say, you know, you're going to be a great carpenter one day. You're going to be one of the most skilled carpenters with a hammer in your hand that there's ever been on the world. But now you wait until you're about 65 to pick up the hammer. No, we're trained by practice. Get in early on it and start practicing the Word of God and become a skillful handler of the Word of God as He speaks it. Now, here's what happens when we get a word from God from Scripture and it's in the right season for our life right now. The written word is logos. Logos is the Greek word for the written Word of God. And logos, the written word, becomes rhema, which is the Greek word for the spoken word of God. Now that's how you can tell when you're becoming skillful in handling the Word of God. When the logos, the written word, becomes a right now, instant, applicable word, the perfect word for this situation right now, as you hear God speaking that word from Scripture. Logos becomes rhema, and it's a powerful thing. There have been times in my life I've seen that principle work. There have been many times as I've practiced and become skillful in handling the written word, that I heard the voice of God speak specific direction at just the right time for me. Now, it requires skill, experience, a full age. It takes time. You got to be of a full age. I'm not there yet. I am not at a full age yet. But I've been in it a while now, as most of you have. Been at it long enough now that I should be more skillful in handling God's Word. hearing it and putting it to practice in my life than I used to be. A specific direction at just the right time. That's a rhema word. A rhema word. When you hear a truth from God's Word, you know it's been there all along, but all of a sudden right now at this situation, this specific circumstance, this challenge facing me right now, that is the Word of the Lord speaking to me about that situation right now. The right word at the right time. I was bent and determined a few years ago. I was going to plow ahead. I was going to power through and do something. I was just going to get some something done. When the Word of God, Logos, written in Psalm 40, spoke to me, it said, wait, wait. And it was such a powerful word. I was convinced, that's the Word. Now, that's the Word. I hear God speaking, wait. Don't go ahead right now, just wait on that. Don't know why. I'll trust God with why. I'm just hearing Him say, wait. And it took a year of waiting. But after a year, then I realized, oh, that's why God had me wait. But it was a rhema word. God spoke that word from me, and He lifted it from Logos, the written word, in Psalm 40. Now, I was aware when I got the word wait out of Psalm 40. I was aware that the Scripture also says, arise quickly and rush into battle. That's in there too. So if all we can handle is Logos, the written word, the Bible contradicts itself. Our skeptics say that. Those who are critical, the agnostics, the atheists, they'll say, how can you base your life on the Bible when it's filled with contradictions? They're just showing their ignorance when they ask that question. They're clueless. The answer is, we can read the whole thing, but not only do we read the written word, we can hear the rhema, the spoken word, and that voice tells us which verse applies to this situation right now. So I heard the Lord say, wait. I was aware there was a Scripture that said, hurry up. But the Scripture that applied then was, wait. Do more than read. Hear God speak. Can I just share with you some Scriptures? Quickly, I'm going to shotgun them at you. To everything there is a season. The wisest man who ever lived wrote this. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. Listen to what this man said. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to keep something, and the time comes when you throw it away. Hoarders, a time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Oh, that I would get more skillful at handling that one. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, how are you going to know whether it's your time to keep silent or it's your time to speak? They're both right here, side by side. Legitimately, there is a time for both. How do you know? You can't just read the Logos. You've got to hear the Rhema word. And know which verse applies right now. You can only do it as you skillfully handle the word. And your discerner lets you know, that's good and noble. Or that's evil and contrary. We become more skillful at it. Now there is a time for every purpose. And to everything there is a season. And not everyone is in the same season. That's why it's so important to be able to hear God speak from His written word. And I've mentioned it before. I'm going to actually read the scriptures one day again, right here to all of us. But the classic example is when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. That's how He began His ministry. After 40 days of being tempted, and the devil, who knows the Logos written word, came to Jesus and quoted a scripture to Jesus. The devil said, "It is written." See right here in Deuteronomy, it's written. And Jesus, being smarter than the devil, said, "Oh yeah, but that's not the right word. I don't hear my Father saying that word right now at this time. What I hear my Father saying is this scripture right here." And Jesus gave him the right word. Three times the devil did that. That's why, as we become more skillful in handling the Word of God that He trusts us with, we become better at hearing which verse applies to this situation. It's all true, but not everybody's in the same season at the same time. I remember many times, I'll give you just a couple of more. There was a time when our church was 2 years old. We were in our second rental property. It was a two-story bank building on the corner of Coit and Chevis. How many of you were with us back then, the faithful? Look, we got a couple of dozen maybe that have survived a quarter of a century and more still with us today. We were in that building. It was free for us. But we packed it out and couldn't fit any more in. And it was free. This businessman gave it to us free. Said, "Use it as long as you want to. Free." We thought, well, we can't grow here anymore. And it's a little old and outdated on the inside. And so we had a decision to make, and we went to prayer. The whole church was in on it. Should we move? I mean, we're full here. Should we find a better place, a bigger place? But this is free. You ever been in betwixt and between? You needed a word. And it was during that time we were praying, should we just move right now? Walk away from this free gift and find something better? Or should we stay here and maybe knock down a wall or two with the owner's permission and remodel this place so it would be bigger and newer? And Glenda Goodwin found the Word, the Logos, and brought it to us. And the written Word in Luke 16:12, Glenda found, became the Rhema Word, God speaking this Word to this situation right now. Jesus said, "If you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Well, as soon as Glenda brought that Word, it was like, okay, that's the right Word. Oh, the Bible's full of scriptures, like what, 18,000 or something? But that's the one that fits this. We knew it in here. Why? Because over time and by practice, we have learned to skillfully handle the Word of God. We can, like Jesus in the wilderness, we can tell which Word applies right now and which one doesn't. Thank you, Glenda, for hearing from God and bringing that Word to the whole church. That settled it for us at that season. We knew we were to stay there. We got the owner's permission to knock down a few walls on the inside and to remodel. We stayed there a couple more years and continued to grow until we were able to buy our own property. Another story where a scripture stood out to me, and the Logos, the written Word from Scripture. Thank God for Scripture. But that one verse became life right now, and I witnessed on the inside. That's the verse you run with. That's the verse that applies here. And I've shared this as part of my personal testimony. But 20 years ago, I had an opportunity to go preach a crusade for 5 days in what had been the Soviet Union. Communism was over. They were free to hear the gospel. And I was assigned to a little city called Liepāja, Latvia. Here's a map of Latvia on the screen. Latvia is the size of West Virginia. And Liepāja is the third largest city in the nation. Riga, where the airplane is, that's the only big airport over there. So you fly into the capital city of Riga, then I took a five-hour bus ride to the coast of the Baltic Sea here in Liepāja. And all I knew before we left was the city was Liepāja, Latvia. I'd never heard of it. And they had 120,000 population in that city. When I got there, I was amazed that as poor as they were, still they had wedding bands, but they did not wear their wedding band on their left hand like we do. They wore it on their right hand. That's just their culture. So I thought that was strange. And we spent 5 days there in a crusade preaching to the people there that were hungry, saw so many people saved, and no church there love them and train them and teach them. And so I got on the plane after 5 days flying back, and I thought, God's not finished with me in that city yet. I didn't know any more than that. So when you know, when you got a little hunch, when you just got a little intuition, by the way, the world, the best the world can do, the best an unsaved man or woman can do is have a strong intuition. But we, being children of God, can hear clearly His voice. And I had this hunch. God's not finished with me yet. And we were flying back across the ocean, and every minute I felt more of my heart had been left behind. And a hunch. And I thought, I don't know what to do, but read the Word, and pulled out my sword of the Spirit, and the Logos, the written Word. And just in my mind, I said, I'll read the book of Jonah. Four chapters, the story of God calling a man to a city. Jonah was called to Nineveh. I'll read that book. And I was praying as I was reading, Lord, are you through with me in Liepāja? Is that the only time I'll ever see that city? And I got to the last verse in the book of Jonah. And it read like this. God said to Jonah, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? When I read that, it was like, absolutely, of course, God is speaking that word right now in a fresh, powerful way to this specific question I had. I needed direction from God, and He gave it to me from His written Word, but only as we are able to skillfully handle the Word we get can it become rhema, the voice of God speaking specific direction to us. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand.